Good morning. We're glad to be here again. Thank you. Those lights really are a little bit sharp. It's nice to be here again this morning. Our brother mentioned something about a Father's Day message. And you know, I've chosen to speak this morning about the eunuch. But we're going to have a message we trust in the will of the Lord that will be good for fathers and for mothers and grandfathers. How many grandfathers have we got here this morning? Put your hand up. Grandfathers. I'm not getting through to Uncle Nick. How many, are there any great-grandfathers here? My, look at that. I got to take my hand down. But you know, I got something to tell you this morning. I got a telephone call this morning from my daughter. A Father's Day telephone call. And after some little talk, you know, she says, Dad, she says, we got 10 new babies here this morning. I said, 10 new babies? I said, what do you mean? Well, she said, our dog had pups this morning. 10 of them. Well, that was the Father's Day greeting I got this morning. Well, praise the Lord. He's good to us. Now, I'd like to read from the 8th chapter of the Acts. 8th chapter of Acts, and I want to read about the eunuch. For the last four Sundays at least, I have been speaking on the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And it's almost impossible to think of the 53rd of Isaiah without thinking of the eunuch, way back there in the early part of the church. You know, these were the days when the church was first established, and we come to the 8th chapter. We find at the beginning of the chapter about Saul being consenting to the death of Stephen, the martyr, had been martyred in the 7th chapter. And then we find how that there was great blessing upon the word of the Lord, that the disciples and the Christians were persecuted, and they were dispersed from Jerusalem. And they went around the country preaching the gospel, and they were preaching in Samaria. And we read that there was a great blessing there as Philip the evangelist was preaching of the grace of God, and many were saved as they believed the story of the gospel. And then we read that Peter and John, I think it was, came down to investigate the situation, and they had a wonderful time together. We have the story there of Simon the sorcerer and so on. And then, you know, in the midst of all of the blessing that Philip the evangelist was having, in the midst of that all, many souls were being saved. And if you want to read an interesting story, you read that 8th chapter. But in the midst of that, all of a sudden, Philip the evangelist gets a message from God, and here's the message he got in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down to from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Think of that. Imagine, for the moment, imagine, if you will, Billy Graham is going to have this great campaign in the city of New York, as he has had in so many, crusade. We used to call them a series of gospel meetings, but today they call them crusades. But anyhow, it don't make any difference. Imagine, out in the midst of that, that Billy Graham got a message from God, said, Billy, I want you to go out into the desert out there in California. And you know, I wonder if Billy would, I believe if he got the message from God, I have enough faith in Billy Graham that he would obey. But that's the kind of a situation there was here. Out of the midst of blessing, go down into the desert. Verse 27. He was obedient. It says that he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, and you know, here was the answer to Philip's, why, Lord, are you sending me into the desert here? I can't preach to this sand. Why are you sending me into, and here's the answer. Philip, go near the chariot. And the Spirit said unto Philip in verse 29, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, saying, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? This was the question to the eunuch. And he said, and here's the answer of the eunuch, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb before her, a dumb before her his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That's wonderful. From the 53rd of Isaiah. And I suppose there's no other book in the Bible, possibly, that contains more of the Lord Jesus Christ than the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. If you will count the times that it's mentioned in Isaiah 53 in those 12 verses, he, him, his, you'll come up with a number of about 50 times in those 12 verses that are mentioned about the Lord Jesus Christ. Away back in the book of Isaiah, 750 years approximately, more or less, before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. His birth was foretold in Isaiah again and again. A child, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and of his kingdom there shall be no end, and so on and so on. And the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was foretold again and again in the book of Isaiah, the coming Messiah. Well, here we have Philip the evangelist preaching the word of God effectively in Samaria, and many of them were being saved, and here he goes down into the desert. And you know, as we read this story of this eunuch, it magnifies, dear brothers and sisters, it magnifies the grace of God. Because God would take his servant that he was using so mightily and to the salvation of so many, and take this servant of his and send him into the desert to reach one colored man, the eunuch. You know, that magnifies the grace of God. That tells me that every man's soul is precious in the sight of God. And we used to sing, whether yellow, black, or white, all are precious in his sight. And you know, it's sad, in the midst of all of these racial problems, that we overlook the fact so often that inside of the body of each one of these souls, whether they're yellow, black, or white, there is a soul there that's going to exist throughout eternity. A soul that's going to be either in a lost eternity forever or with the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. And here God places so much value upon this one colored man that he takes Philip the evangelist away from a sphere activity and brings him into the desert. And Philip, as the obedient servant of God, follows the command of God. And it says that he went. No question about it. He went in obedience to the command of God. Oh, my dear brother and sister, that speaks to me this morning. I wonder how obedient I am. I wonder how obedient you are to the commands of God that are found before us in the Word of God. Philip went forth. in obedience to the command of God, and it says that he saw the chariot, and then he was commanded by God to go join them. You know, when he saw the chariot, he didn't see a horse and buggy. No doubt there was a great many people with this man, and no doubt many of these people heard this whole story. And you know, we only read about this one man being saved, but we don't know how many more were reached through the witness of the eunuch and Philip preaching unto him Jesus. Now we come to the eunuch. It says that the eunuch was returning from Jerusalem, and he was on the road that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza. He was returning. It says that he was a man of great authority. He was the treasurer under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. You know, I jotted down a few qualities of this man, this eunuch. And you know, he was a powerful man. He was a man under great authority, and he had a lot to say in the command and in the administration of the funds and treasury of the land of Ethiopia under the queen. No doubt second in authority. And then this man, he was a famous man. He would be known throughout the whole country. He's our secretary of the treasury. He's the treasury, and he has charge of all of our money and our funds and our resources. And he was a famous man. And no doubt as a result of his position, the thing that resulted in his position, that he must have been a man that had something upstairs here. He was an educated man, and he had something upstairs here that he was using. He didn't get there by chance. And then he was a religious man. It says that he was returning from Jerusalem, and he had gone there to worship. Now, I don't know whether this man possibly was a proselyte under the religion of the Jews. I don't see what else an Ethiopian would do to go back, and possibly a proselyte, but he was a rich man. He was a religious man, and he had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And you know, that was good. That was good. And you know, God had his eye upon that man. From the moment he made up his mind, I'm going to Jerusalem, from that moment as he set and wended his way from Ethiopia, from his home, as he wended his way up to Jerusalem, you know, God had his eye upon that man, upon that black man. You know, my friend, God has had his eye upon you all of these years. God has had his eye upon me. My brother was mentioning a little bit this morning about his conversion away back there in Detroit. Well, you know, God had his eye upon Nick, and he had his eye upon Wardenburg, and God has had his eye upon you, my dear friend, from the very moment you were born, and watching you as you trace your pathway. You know, the eunuch was a seeking man as well. A seeking man. And you know the story about a seeking Savior and a seeking sinner, their paths meet. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here upon earth, he said that the Son of Man is come for what purpose? To seek and to save them that are lost. And you know, that's what God has had his eye upon you, my dear friend, all of your days for, in order that he might seek that which was lost. Some of you here in your 70s and 80s, and some younger, I'm wondering this morning if I am speaking to somebody that has been here for all of those years and still is lost. Is it possible? It is possible to be here all of those years God having his eye upon you. You know, the Lord has been seeking you. Possibly you haven't been seeking the Lord. Or possibly you haven't been willing to bow yourself down in penitence before the Lord, as we're going to see about the eunuch as we proceed. Maybe the reason, my dear friend, is that you're not saved this morning is because you never realized that you were lost. And you know, friends, it's only lost people that get saved. It's only lost people that get found, my dear friend. You have to be lost. It's the man that's going down for the third time that's after that life raft. And it's only people, my dear friend, that are lost and realize it that get found. Have you ever been lost? I ask each one in this audience this morning. Have you ever found yourself? Have you ever been found as a lost sinner before God? Have you ever realized, my dear friend, that you are lost and that you are worthy of hell? Worthy to be banished from the presence of God for all eternity because of your sin. Oh, you say, Wardenburg, you're talking to the wrong people. You know, I wasn't that bad. My friend, you were worse. And so was I. Guilty before God. Whatsoever things the law saith, we read in the epistle to the Romans, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and that all the world may become guilty before God. My dear friend, you must realize that you are guilty before God. He that believeth on him is not condemned, the word of God says. But he that believeth not is condemned already. You don't have to wait till you die, my dear friend, to be condemned. You're condemned already. The convicted prisoner in the death cell, my dear friend, while he's waiting the day of execution, he sits in that cell as a condemned man, found guilty before the law, convicted of the crime, found guilty under the law, and condemned by the judge, and the sentence is going to be carried out. And you know, the Word of God, we read a verse in the Word of God that says this, because sentence against an evil work is not speedily executed, therefore it is fully set in the hearts of the sons of men to do evil. And men say today, well, you know, I'm 60 years old and nothing has happened. And you know, I think this is all bunk. I'm 70 years old and here I am. I'm, you know, God is taking good care of me. Or maybe you don't even realize that God is good care of you. And you say, well, you know, I've taken good care of myself. And I've lived a good life. And I don't drink. And I don't smoke. And I don't carouse. And I never did. And you know, I've taken good care of my body. Here I am. Listen, friend. God has taken care of you. And he spared you all the days of your life. And he's given you time to repent. And you haven't repented, my dear friend. If you're unsaved in this meeting this morning. You have not repented before God. And you're in the condition you are this morning. If you're not saved, you're in a stiff-necked condition, refusing to bow yourself as a lost, condemned, hell-deserving sinner before God. And it's only lost people, dear friend, that get saved. Well, the eunuch, he was reading from the prophecy of Isaiah. And you know, that's an encouragement to me this morning to preach the word. Do you know why? Well, here was the word of God that was some 750 years old that had been written through the prophet Isaiah, holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And here the scriptures had been penned and put down. And here he was reading these verses from the 53rd of Isaiah. And you know, the word of God was like an arrow striking home to the heart of that Ethiopian eunuch. The word of God was like an arrow to his soul. And you know, as he was reading these verses, Philip heard him. He must have had pretty good ears, better than mine or yours, Nick. He heard him reading from Isaiah 53. And you know, Philip, he had the nerve to go up to this treasurer, to this man that was in high authority. He had the nerve to go to him and say, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And you know, God gave him that courage. God gave Philip the courage to do this, because Philip had something in his hand and in his heart that was more than all the riches of Ethiopia and all the riches of the world put together, the Word of God. And you know, the eunuch had a copy of it, and that's one of the good things that he brought back with him from Jerusalem. Evidently, the worship business didn't go so good in Jerusalem, and he wondered what it was all about, and he's still seeking, and he brings back with him a copy of the Word of God, at least Isaiah 53. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And you know, the Word struck home to this eunuch. And you know, he asked, and the response to the question of Philip the evangelist, "Understandest thou what?" "How can I, except some man should guide me?" Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful, my dear friends. "How can I, except some man should guide me?" You know, when you sit down alongside of somebody with a Bible in your hand, and they're willing to be guided, but when they sit there and they say, I know, I understand. And they don't understand. You know, it's hard to help a man like that. Or a woman. But you get alongside of somebody with the open Bible that's honest with you, and they say, "You know, it's all black to me. I don't understand. I can't understand the Bible. It's so mysterious. I can't understand it." And yet the Word of God says that the way is so simple that a wayfaring man, though he be a fool, should not err therein. You know, I was talking to one of the nice little girls the other day that were here with this group from the Baptist Church. And you know, in spite of a little noise, they were still a nice bunch of kids, and I loved every one of them. You know, I talked to a little group of them about the camp, Camp Horizon. Come to Camp Horizon. The little girl said to me, "You know, sir," she said, "it's all a matter of how you interpret the gospel. It's all a matter of interpretation." One of the men was sitting by. I said to the little girl, I said, "Honey," I said, "it doesn't take much to interpret John 3:16 for God's love. All you have to do is simply believe it and receive it." I said, "That doesn't take much imagination or much interpretation." I tried to help her. It's so nice when you have one sitting alongside of you that is honest. And here was an honest man before God. He realized that here was something that he lacked and he needed. And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" You know, it's so wonderful to know that the Word of God is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. The word of God endureth forever." And here it was, 750 years old. And you know, as this man said, "How can I?" And he was willing to be guided. It says that Philip, he began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. Oh, my friend, my Christian friend, if you have an opportunity sometime to speak to an unsaved person, preach unto them Jesus. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and about a wonderful, wonderful Savior He is. You know, people, they give us all kind of testimonials and all kind of advice. They say to me, Warden Murray, you got too much here. And you know, one of the problems is that they always make these shirts too small and the buttons pop. And they make fountain pens that always leak. It seems like nobody can make a good fountain pen that won't leak. And you know, my wife will say to me, look what you've done to your shirt again. Well, it wasn't me, it was the fountain pen. Preach unto them Jesus. Don't worry about their diet and about their ailments and about their problems. I appreciate this in the interest of people in my welfare. I know I shouldn't be so fat. I know that. And I appreciate their interest in our health problems and so on. But the foremost thing, my dear friend, my Christian friend, is to bring them the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the balm for every ill. He's the one that can help sinners through periods of difficulty and trial and sickness and so on. And then, best of all, to save them for all eternity. And it says here that Philip, he began at the same scripture. And what was the scripture? It was Isaiah 53. What did he say here? Where are we here? The place of the scripture in verse 32. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Tell them about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, about his sacrifice upon Calvary's cross. And this, my dear unsaved friend, is what we would like to bring before you this morning. You know, Isaiah 53 says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned each one to our own way. But the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Did you know, my unsaved friend, that God took your sins, which were like a mountain high, and my sins, he has taken them, and he has taken all the sins of mankind and brought them from the beginning of time, brought them forward to Calvary. And then he went to the end of time in his inscrutable, infinite wisdom and power. He took the sins of the whole world from the very end of time, and he brought them to Calvary. And it says there that God hath made to meet upon him, that is on the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53. Read it. Eat it, my dear friend. Read it and make it part of you. Say, well, now that's fine, Wartenberg. All the sins have been laid upon the Lord Jesus, so we're all saved. You know, John 1 and 12 says, to as many as received him, to as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the authority to become the sons of God. And it's only to those that receive the Lord Jesus. God isn't going to save you against your wishes, my friend. God isn't going to save you unless you're lost and unless you want to be saved. And it's up to you. God has given man a will to resist. God has given man a will so that he can resist the overtures of the Holy Spirit of God. And I know this is one of the mysterious things of life, because I still must confess that if it had not been for the overtures of the Holy Spirit of God, that I would still be on my way to hell. But at the same time, there had to become a yieldingness on the part of the sinner. The sinner must see his danger. He must see where he's heading for, my dear friend. And if you're in this meeting this morning and you have never been saved by the grace of God, you're heading for for a lost eternity, and if you die today, you're going to be in hell. I don't care what religion you got, or whatever thing you might have, or how good you are. If you're not saved, my dear friend, you're lost. There's no in-between. You're either saved here this morning by the grace of God, or you're lost. You're lost. When the Titanic went down, there were so many saved. Some of them are living today, but there were so many that were lost. There wasn't any that were half saved. There weren't any there that were three-quarters saved. They were either saved or were lost. It was total, the one or the other, my dear friend. And as you sit here before God this morning, with the open Bible being spoken of this morning, you're either here condemned or you're here saved by the grace of God. And there's not one here that's excluded from that. If you want salvation, all you have to do is receive it by faith. You know, Romans 4, we read these words. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is accounted unto him for righteousness. If thou shalt believe with thine heart and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. It's total, my dear friend, one or the other. Which side of the fence are you on this morning? Are you saved? Say, well, I don't know. Listen, friend, be honest like the eunuch. Be honest. Be honest before God. You can fool me. You can't fool God. Be honest. The eunuch said, how can I, except some man should guide me? We want to guide you this morning in the right path. We're not interested in your money. If you're not saved, my dear friend, God doesn't want your money. Just keep it and spend it on yourself and use it to your own gratification and glory. It'll do you no good, my friend. If you're not saved, keep your money and use it on yourself and have a good time, because it's the only fun you'll ever have. It's the only enjoyment, my dear friend, you'll ever have. If you've got riches, use it up. Live it up, my dear friend. That's my advice to you. If you're not saved, live it up and use it up. It's all the fun you'll ever have, because when you leave this scene, it'll be into a lost eternity, like the rich man in Luke 16. I trust that I have made this plain to each one in our meeting here this morning. I wish I could take it. I wish I could pour it into your soul, my dear friend, but I can't. But God can, and we trust that the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to make it clear to you this morning just where you stand. And be honest like the eunuch. He was an honest man. I got a bunch of things written down here. He was a humble man. And you know, one of the best things about him was that he was receptive. He was receptive to the Word of God. He received the Word of God as it is. And you know, a little later on, we read about the eunuch. He wanted to be baptized. And you know, Philip said, here is water. The eunuch, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And you know, what did Philip say to him? Well, wait a minute, eunuch. That don't go so fast. You know, before you can do this, you know, we have a catechism. We have our rules. You'll have to come before the board of deacons. You'll have to tell us about it. You'll have to learn the answers to the questions. I learned them. They didn't save me. Did he say that to Philip? To the eunuch? What did Philip say? If thou believest, if thou believest, thou mayest be baptized. And you know, Philip, he made his confession before the eunuch, before Philip, and before the whole crowd that was there, and he said, I believe. I believe. You know, that was enough. That's enough to save a world of sinners. I believe. You know, that's all I got this morning. After 47 years almost, 47 years ago, one Sunday afternoon, I said, I believe. I believe. I've had my doubts. Oh, sure, I've had. You say, you doubted it? One, certainly I doubted it. Many times. You know what I do then? I said, Lord, I believe. I believe. That's all I've got to take me to heaven after 47 years living as a Christian, preaching the gospel. And you know, there's days in the past when I used to preach the gospel almost every night before the war and in some of the CC camps and so on, almost every night preaching the gospel, and then Saturday night on the street corners, and then, you know, almost every Sunday somehow or another, I find myself being asked to speak somewhere. But all of that, my dear friends, means nothing. Means nothing to take me to heaven. I believe. I believe. You know, when the Lord comes to take me home, that's the thing that's going to take me. I believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That it was for me, a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner, Christ died. Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, raised again the third day according to the Scriptures, and I believe. That's enough for God. That's enough for me. What about you, my friend? Oh, we have to do our part, you know. We've got to do our part. We have what part? Our part was the sinning. Our part was the hating God. Our part was rebellion against God. And that's your part, my dear friend. The part of God is the saving. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. Settle this question this morning, my dear friend. I beg of you. It's the most important step you could take. Forget about family and friends and money and business and pleasure. This is the most important step that you could take, is to say, like the eunuch, I believe. May God help you to do so on this Father's Day morning in 1969. And you and I who are believers, let us take courage in ministering the Word of God. It's quick and powerful, the same as it was in the days of the eunuch, in the days of Philip the evangelist, and it works. It's wonderful, you know, to sit alongside of somebody that's as blind as a Hottentot, and all of a sudden they say, oh, I see it now. It's clear, I see it now, and I believe. And you know, you find that the Word of God still has that living power to save sinners. Let us be encouraged to live lives that will be well-pleasing to Him and that will reach men and women and boys and girls until Jesus comes, which won't be long. It may be today, my friend, my Christian friend. The hymn writer says that I can almost hear His footfall on the threshold of the door. And the believer's response is, my heart is longing to be with Him evermore. What a grand day that will be when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for the lessons, our Father, about the eunuch and about Philip the evangelist. We thank Thee that the message is still simple today, that if Thou believest, thou mayest. Oh God, we pray thee to pour this into each heart here this morning, young or old. Oh, our Father, we don't want to see one person pass out of the portals of this chapel unsaved. And we would just beg of thee, our Father, and plead with thee this morning to use thy word to bring them down in the dust before thee, and that they might be honest, our Father, with thee. Help us who are Christians, we pray. We ask thee, Lord, to give us courage to minister, to witness for our Savior, to minister thy word, and give us, our Father, the courage of our convictions. We pray for the sick, the afflicted. We pray for our brother Willie again at this time. Pray, Lord, to give him speedy recovery, and grant that we might be able to see him before another Lord's Day rolls around. We pray for Vera. We pray for others who are sick, our Father, others who have been bereaved. We pray for them and ask thy blessing. We pray thee, Lord, then to watch over us as we give thee our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's any questions, we're not going to sing. It's 12 o'clock. If you have any questions, we'd be glad to sit down and talk with you about the Word of God. God.